Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
I bring you a message from the Word of the Lord tonight. And as I mentioned to you this morning, I'm preaching under the topic of yes and amen, or as it is stated in the King James Version, yay and amen. Let's start with 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, or in other words, Jesus Messiah, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, was not a mixture of yes and no, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I think probably all or nearly all of us come from a background of being Gentile, non-Jewish people. And scripturally, non-Jewish people begin their lives outside of the family of faith, were historically the people of the nations, non-Jewish, were on the outside looking in. The unredeemed were as strangers and alien to the commonwealth of God, and having no rights or standing regarding the promises of God. There's one scripture, and I'll read the passage, but one verse from the passage says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I want to read the broader passage for you. It's from Ephesians chapter 2. I'm beginning with verse 12. And he starts off with that verse, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus. And you'll notice the verses I read for you in the text say, in him the promises are yes. In him the promises are amen. And he says here that in Christ, amen, now in Christ Jesus, or in other words, in Messiah Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, when he says broken down the middle wall of partition, I want to take your mind back to God's instruction to Moses for the Hebrew people in the construction of their worship and in the way that the temple was later laid out when it was built as a temple instead of as a tabernacle. And there was to be a court of the Gentiles, and there was to be a wall of partition beyond which the Gentiles could not go, and only the Jewish people could go beyond that into a place of more intimate worship. And the understanding is that in Christ, in the Jewish Messiah, there is no more limitation where the non-Jewish people are on the outside looking in. That wall of partition is broken down, and we are able to go with our Jewish brethren into the holiest and most intimate places of worship. And this is the understanding that comes to my mind when I read that he has broken down the middle wall of partition. Amen. And It says in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, that's the Jewish family of God and the non-Jewish peoples, of those two twain, to make in himself, notice again, everything here is in him, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, that is both the Jewish family of God and the Gentile new believers, to reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through him. And in many places it says in him, but here it says through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. In verse 19, now so he's just gone through saying that Jesus, the Messiah, is our peace. And in verse 19, he heads into saying that Jesus, the Messiah, is our cornerstone. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom, there it is again, we're talking about in Jesus, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple of the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. And so biblically, through the Messiah and in the Messiah, Jesus, God has broken down the middle wall of partition, and now we are no longer on the outside looking in. We're no longer strangers and aliens. We are now adopted into the family. We are now part of the covenant, and as such, we are in him. Amen. Amen. What does it mean? What benefits do we get by being in him? Well, one of the things is that we get access to all the promises of God for which we previously had no standing or right. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, because of being in him, ye are complete in him. You take a person who is alien to the commonwealth of God and doesn't have the promises of God, their life is defined by being incomplete and broken. But when you are in him, you have everything you need. You have access to the promises of God, and you are complete. Amen. Amen. Now, the promises that apply to us. For instance, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In fact, lest there be any doubt about it, the scriptures about this are often redundant to really drive the point home. Sometimes they are double redundant and sometimes triple redundant. In the case of our text, the scripture says that in him, all the promises of God. You hear that? That's the first punch of redundancy. We're not talking about just some of the promises. We're talking about all of the promises. There is not one good promise that God has made to the people of the household of faith that we don't have access to. Once you are in, you are in. You're like the puppy that's inside the feeding bowl with all 4 feet inside the feeding bowl. There's no food you might want that you can't get to. Amen. And the scriptures here, listen to this redundancy. Amen. That all the promises of God are in him, yes. There's the second redundancy. And in him, amen. Or in other words, sure, fixed, available. not shifty, not going to be taken away from you. There is a triple redundancy here. It's all the promises, and all the promises are yes, and all the promises are amen. They are fixed. They are sure. They are available. Amen. Now, I want to take your attention back to this phenomenal photograph. People all over town were amazed by a beautiful double rainbow, and brother just happened to be approaching the church, and he pointed his camera up, and he got a picture, and this is not the first time this has happened. Over the years, we've got multiple pictures of people taking a photograph of this church with a double rainbow right above it. Of all the ones we've gotten, one of the best ones was this one. And when I put it on the front cover, I put these words on top of it: God's promises never lose their power. Praise God. Amen. And God promised that he would never again flood the entire world by water. And he gave the rainbow as a sign of that promise. And that promise is still in force today. God made that promise thousands of years ago, but God's promises never lose their power. And when God gave that promise, he gave the rainbow in the sky as a sign or as a security of that promise. And whenever that rainbow shows as a double rainbow, it's like doubly emphasizing the surety of God's promise. I don't think it's a coincidence that down through the years, people keep seeing a double rainbow as they're approaching this church. And they keep taking a picture of this church with a double rainbow. You know what it says to me? It says to me that God is reminding us out of those two arcs in that double rainbow, all the promises are yes, and all the promises are amen. There is a double emphasis on the promises of God. They are for us. God's promises are for his people. Praise God. Praise God. It would have been enough if he would have just said all the promises are yes. It would have been enough if he just said all the promises are amen. But he said both. All the promises are yes, and all the promises are amen. It's God going out of his way to say, do you understand that all of the promises that I've made are available to you? We have access. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the promises of God are ours. Amen. Regarding another double mention in 2 Corinthians, in the text that I read to you from 2 Corinthians 19 through 22. And it's in verse 22, and it's one reason why I wanted to read four verses instead of only three. When you get to that fourth verse, once you start at 19, if you go four verses, you get to verse 22, and you get to this: who hath also sealed us. There's the first emphasis. And given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And I will say to you again, it would have been enough if he'd have just sealed us. It would have been enough if he had just given us the earnest of his Spirit. But he sealed us and gave us the earnest of the Spirit. A well-known Bible scholar named Charles Ryrie, in commenting on this verse, he said, the seal indicates security, and the pledge is a guarantee that God will fulfill his promises. Praise God. And then the Bible scholar, Charles Ryrie, says, see also notes on Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 13 and 14. So the scholar says, go check out Ephesians chapter 1. So let's go check out Ephesians chapter 1. And listen here. In Ephesians chapter 1, listen again to the in whom references to Messiah Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that, ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, how many of you have ever bought a home? All right, a lot of hands, good. How many of you have ever sold a home? Some more hands. How many of you know that whenever somebody wants to sell a home to someone else, or you want to buy a home for someone else, that is a very intensive process, requires a lot of time and energy and effort, and you don't want to enter into that process with someone who isn't serious. So there's something called earnest money. And earnest money doesn't buy you the house, but it's like a down payment on the house that says, I'm willing to risk that if I put you through all the time and headache of trying to get this done, and then I back out, you get to keep this part. In other words, when you give earnest money, it says, this is a down payment that shows you how serious I am. In other words, it's what says, I am in this to see it through, and I won't be backing out. Well, that word earnest, when we say earnest money, that's the English word given, and it tells us, and unlike humans, humans can lie. God is not a man that he should lie. When humans say, I promise you, I won't back out, here's earnest money to prove it, sometimes we still back out. But when God says, I'm giving you this as the earnest of your inheritance, he never backs out. God keeps his word. His promises are always in force. Praise God. In fact, there are several Bible passages that refer to God having sealed us with the Holy Ghost and having given us the earnest or the security of our inheritance. Scriptural references to us having been sealed. John chapter 6, Romans chapter 4, two places in Ephesians 1, another place in Ephesians 4, one place in 2 Timothy 2, and three places in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, chapter 7, and chapter 9. And regarding God having given us the earnest, this is discussed in 2 Corinthians 5, Romans 8, a couple of places in Romans 8, and then also again in Ephesians 1. Praise God. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God cannot lie. And when God makes promises, those promises don't get revoked. God is serious. He is a God who keeps his word. And we are part of the family that has those promises available. I'm going to tell you, the songwriter was writing good one day when he wrote a song called Standing on the Promises of God. I brought a songbook with me up to the pulpit tonight. Now, I don't often do that, but I just want to read to you the verses of the stanzas on Standing on the Promises. He writes this, Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let the praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Second verse, standing on the promises that cannot fail when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Third verse, standing on the promises, I now can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Fourth verse, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Final verse, standing on the promises. I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. I want to tell you, there's great news, and that is that the believers, regardless of whether you come from a Jewish background of faith and upbringing, or whether you come from a Gentile background of faith and upbringing, all the believers in Him are one family. There's no first class, second class. There's no tier system. Every one of us that are believers, we all mutually together have access to all the promises of God, and we are standing on the promises of God. Promises that never lose their power. I pray to you today. Here, I'm almost done. And in just a few moments, I'm going to ask all of you to stand and make your way to this altar and in faith petition God for Him to keep His promise in your situation. Let this be us today. Let's rise together in faith and stand on the promises of God. Listen to just a handful of them. Promise, Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Promise, Isaiah 53 and verse 5. By His stripes we are healed. Listen to this one, another promise. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live in righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. Promise, Revelation 12 and 11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. I got good news for you, folks. The devil can't beat us if we'll stay in Christ. Another one, I already made reference to this one, promise, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say, Pastor, I don't know where it's going to come from. I'll tell you, it's not going to come from your bank account. It's going to come from His riches, and He's got everything you need. Another promise, Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. And I want to read this one. This is so powerful. I want to read more than just one verse on this one. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What do you got there? Some devil bothering you? Don't let that scare you. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? In other words, the most precious thing that God could possibly give us, He already gave. If He was willing to give the death of the man Christ Jesus upon the cross, if He's willing to give that, why would He withhold any smaller, lesser thing? Amen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? What do you got there? A devil on your shoulder trying to condemn you? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, famine? It's almost like he's saying, are you serious? Give me a break. Nakedness, peril, the sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. They love not their own lives unto the death. We have no problem. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Either way, we win. Let me go. I'm going to keep witnessing for him. Put me to death. I get to be with the Lord. I get to go see my mom and my granddad. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. And here's the thing, folks. In a place of maturity, you get to the place that nothing can shake you of this persuasion. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, some people get an idea in their minds and it doesn't come from God. And it doesn't come from Scripture. Oh, Pastor, the promises aren't available to me anymore. I messed up too bad. Some people get this idea, well, God spreads the miracles around evenly, and I already got one years ago, so I shouldn't even bother asking for another one. Those ideas don't come from God, folks. Those ideas don't come from the Scripture. There are no expiration dates on the promises. There's no coupon style once per person per lifetime stipulations. Even if you already received some earlier application of the promise, future applications are still available, even now. Just because you got a healing before doesn't mean you don't qualify. This ain't some government program. Don't you hate that? Well, we're sorry, sir, but 20 years ago you took advantage of this program, so you can't take advantage of this program again. That's not how it works. You can still get another healing right here tonight. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. Folks, that's a promise. God's angels are in this house right here tonight, ready to help us. Even if you already asked and got what you received, and you need to ask again. And I'll go ahead and say it. Even if you asked, and for whatever reason the answer wasn't what you wanted, ask again. Amen. The literal meaning of amen is firm, fixed, sure. It is a meaning of so be it. And this statement that all of the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, in particular, is a way of telling us that when we ask God to give us the fruit of his promise, his answer will be yes, and let it be so. Jesus told this parable in Luke 18. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.